What is going on? It is the Ethos Clippers podcast come at you on Monday evening after another Clippers loss. A terrible 17-point defeat at home to the Atlanta Hawks. It has been a while, my friends. We apologize. We mentioned in the last podcast, this is going to be a crazy week that we just had as I was off to Nevada on Wednesday for the Big West tournament, where UC Irvine, the team that I broadcast for on the women's side, ended up winning the Big West tournament. So they are headed to the NCAA tournament, which means I am headed to Spokane, Washington on Friday for a matchup with Gonzaga. And so we did not have a podcast because guess what? Matt Matawarren has a pregnant wife. And for those of you that don't have wives that have been pregnant, you won't understand the hell that the three different trimesters are. So we apologize that we weren't able to come back sooner. But life sometimes gets in the way of podcasting, unfortunately. But we are back. It is Monday. We're going to try and get you two podcasts out this week as the Clippers will play on Wednesday against the Trailblazers. So perhaps we'll get you one on Thursday as we talk about that next game. But without further ado, I'm your host, Brandon Marcus, joined by my co-host, Matawarren, back on the Ethos Clippers podcast. Matt, how are you, my friend?
Sports Ethos, Clipper Nation, Brandon Marcus. How the heck are you? That's right. I was dealing with some pregnancy issues, some doctor's appointments. I really wanted to get in here and, you know, dive into a pod, even if it was going to be a solo one. I actually have a little game that I was going to play with myself. I guess I'm spoken, like where Brandon's going. I was going to play a game, and maybe we can play a version of it too, because guess what, Brandon? You know what I did when I thought I was going to do a solo pod and then life got in the way?
What?
I went back to my notepad from the original solo podcast that I did, and I wrote down a little exercise that I was going to do by myself. So maybe a little bit later in the pod, you and I can do it together.
Okay. Sounds like a plan. We will save that for later. It hasn't been great since we last recorded. We recorded after the Bulls and T-Wolves matinee back-to-back, or the Bucks and T-Wolves. No. Bulls and Bucks, Jesus. Bulls and Bucks back-to-back, where they beat the Bulls and then lost to the Bucks. And it hasn't gotten good. Lost to the Timberwolves, beat the Bulls, lost at the Pelicans, and then lost at home to the Hawks. I think the most concerning one was obviously what happened last night. And all of a sudden, you have people coming out that have been criticizing Ty Lue now, think that he shouldn't return next year, saying that the Clippers should get rid of Paul George. So everything that usually happens when the Clippers start struggling is back front and center. But there are a couple of things I want to discuss, and we're not going to go game by game because we've been gone for four games. So I think it's more talking about general trends and how the team looks right now and what we're most concerned about. And we've talked about how we want to stay positive. That being said, when the team's lost three of the last four since you record a podcast, you got to actually say what's in front of you. I do want to start with this, and I want to see if you agree with me, Matt. I still think that this Clippers team, as constructed, showed us a lot earlier this season that when healthy and when guys are not in and out of the lineup, and we've seen Paul George, Kawhi, James Harden, Zoo, Russell Westbrook, we've seen a lot of guys going in and out of the lineup with injuries. When everybody is healthy, this team can match up with anybody in the West. That being said, you're allowed to still be concerned. But right now, I think everyone's got to realize we're still in the regular season, and I'm going to talk about stuff that's concerning us later, but I still think this team, as constructed, has the talent to match up with anybody. That being said, will they actually compete with everybody? Will they be able to stay healthy? Who knows? But I'm curious if you agree with me on that one, Matt, that as of now, what you're seeing when this team is currently, when it is fully healthy, that they can compete with anybody.
I 100% agree with you. As currently constructed, and as they will be, and if healthy, which we don't know that they will be, this team can absolutely hang with anybody in the West, and that goes all the way up to Denver, OKC, Minnesota, and that goes all the way down to Lakers, Golden State, anybody in that mix. The Clippers have a great chance, and I always point to a seven-game series because I do believe that this team no matter what, can get it together for a seven-game series. And it's funny you mentioned the concerns that we may have, because basically the game that I had, or the little exercise, was annoyed, worried, or alarmed. And I just had a few things that I was going to say if I was annoyed, worried, or alarmed by. So there are definitely some concerns to be had. I don't think we need to rush to judgment, though, or rush to any rash decisions like, Ty should be fired. He's a terrible coach. Get PG out of there. PG has been really efficient and productive, by the way, so I don't know where that comes from. But health is going to play, and we always knew this, but maybe we didn't know where it was going to come from at this point, but health is going to be a huge, 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 huge issue come the postseason. That's a long way of saying I agree with you, but yes, there are definitely concerns.
And it was always going to be the issue, right? I mean, we always said, at the start of this year, you and I always said, barring health, this team can't compete. Barring health, this team will be there in the chance to win the NBA championship. But we knew the injuries were going to happen. That being said, knock on many different forms of wood. Kawhi has not missed much time at all. Paul George has missed games here and there. And James Harden has just started missing a couple of games. All things considered, your top three guys have not missed that much time. And the Clippers, frankly, should be performing better than they are right now. And it's funny. I do want to say this. All this talk about the 1-2-3 seeds, stop. The Clippers are not reaching OKC, Denver, Minnesota. We are now reaching the point where you need to be looking behind you and hoping the Clippers don't fall into the play-in. And they're most likely not going to. They need to really have a bad record. But they're only 3.5 up on Dallas and only 3.5 up on Phoenix. So if they continue to play as poorly as they have, and they have been playing very poorly, then they could slip into a spot that we would not want them to slip into. So you just need to be careful there, okay? You got the Pelicans, you got the Kings that are still behind you. I think the Pelicans are going to pass the Clippers when all is said and done. I think the Clippers are a better – I think the Pelicans right now are a better team than the Clippers, and people can say you're crazy. Well, the Pelicans have kicked the Clippers' ass several times already. The Clippers won one game in New Orleans, no doubt. We know that happened. But if you give me – and let's say Herb Jones is healthy because I think right now he's going to miss a couple games. If you give me McCollum, you give me Herb Jones, you give me Zion – you give me JV, you give me Trey Murphy, and I'm missing one more player on that in that starting lineup. If you give me those guys, then listen, I think they're better than the Clippers. Just because, remember when we did that when we looked at the Clippers roster, and we're like, hey, look at their roster compared to the Brandon Ingram, by the way, is the guy I missed. If you look at the Clippers roster, you look at the Pelicans roster, like right now, you look at the Pelicans roster, they're better than the Clippers. The Clippers have the top-end talent, no doubt about that. So I think it's very possible they slip to that five spot because there are certainly some concerning things. Do you think the Clippers stay in that four spot before we move to the next topic?
I don't think they stay in that four spot. One of the annoyed, worried, alarmed, I'm sorry if you hate this little bit here, but I put, are you annoyed, worried, or alarmed that a potential 4-5 playoff matchup is against New Orleans? Of course, I was going to be asking this to myself, but then I missed the pod. Myself, alarmed. Because I do think that the length and Herb Jones blocking Paul George at the three-point line is probably just case in point for that. As Paul George gets ready for a shot, Herb Jones comes out, blocks him, and runs to the other side for a fast break layup. And, you know, there in this last Pelicans game, there was no James Harden. But even still, the Pelicans out-assisted the Clippers 28-18, and that's because we talked about this with the Pelicans before, and teams like this, whereas there's just movement, right? There's like this constant zipping around of the ball where the Clippers can get stagnant in their half court offense. So I actually think that the Pelicans may end up being that four seed, but I do think the 4-5 matchup is going to be these two teams, and I'm alarmed.
Yeah, I'm alarmed too. I don't think it's a good matchup for the Clippers. And it just concerns me. And I'll tell you what's concerning to me. There's two main things that have stood out recently that I want to discuss. You and I talked about how important it was to value the regular season. And the Clippers said they're going to do that. And it looked like they were doing that. But ever since, right before the All-Star break, and you and I pointed this out right when it happened, that we were starting to get concerned. Remember the podcast we were talking about where we were like, hey, is this a trend or is this just, you know, a small thing that is maybe a blip on the radar, and you and I were like, well, maybe it's a blip, but it's something to keep an eye on. It's become more than a blip. The Clippers have become a team that now has lost 6 of their last 9 games. They lost a couple of games out of the All-Star break, and they just haven't looked good. They haven't looked good, and I think the biggest concern for me is that this team that was valuing the regular season and was playing hard every possession no longer looks like that's the case. You look at last night. How many times was Clint Capela getting offensive rebounds? The Clippers just did not bother to rebound the basketball. And you have Zoo, you have Kawhi, you have PG, you have James Harden, who's a pretty good rebounding guard. Rebounding is all about effort. And I'm not going to take anybody else's opinion on that. Rebounding is effort. If you put your ass on somebody and you box them out, you're going to get the rebound. Unless it takes a really bad bounce and it goes far away from you, unless it's a long rebound. Listen, there's nothing you can do about those. But the rebounds that are not long rebounds and are within the restricted area or thereabouts should go to the defensive team. And the Clippers just are not valuing the ball right now. And they're not valuing the ball when it comes to taking care of it. They're committing turnovers. And they're not getting back in transition. And that is all about effort. Run back. Stop watching the ball. Rebound the basketball on the defensive end. And run back after a miss and play defense. And that's what's concerning me right now. That's the number one point that I'm seeing right now, Matt.
And I totally agree with you. You know, if you read Om Young-Suk's article on ESPN today, I mean, it talked about effort and getting back on defense, transition defense. Paul George saying that the team doesn't exactly have an identity right now and them sort of having this regular season malaise. So it's really concerning. And like you said, when we sort of pegged it to say, well, let's see if this is just sort of a blip or if it's a trend. Well, it looks to be a trend, at least at this point. And you talk about effort and rebounding. And now I may have been wrong on my criticism of Bones because he did have a great game of Bones Highland against the Bulls. But I do think that Russell Westbrook's absence has actually been a bit louder than many of us may have thought because of that rebounding. And Adam Oslin and I had a great back and forth on Twitter X about this, how I do think that Bones can definitely contribute in the playoffs. He can have a game like he had against the Bulls. I don't think the Clippers will be playing a team of the Bulls caliber in the playoffs, but he can get up for a game. But what I was trying to say in all this is that I'm going to miss Westbrook's energy. Sometimes the mania is a bad thing, but sometimes it actually just picks up the team when they have this malaise like they've had the past few games. And I had to focus on his rebounding because, you know, whatever diminished skills or he may have or whatever, you know, if he's not a great shooter, he still gets those rebounds. And like you just said, it's an effort situation. It's an effort play. And he does get back on defense. So I think all of that combined is leading to this sort of, I don't want to say like downhill slide because that's maybe being a bit too dramatic, but when you lose these kind of games against the Hawks, against the Pels, you give up that huge lead against the Timberwolves, you have to look at stuff like this. And I do believe that the effort has been very lackluster. It's a thing that I'm worried about. I'm annoyed and worried. I don't know if I'm alarmed because I think they can pick that back up, but it's certainly worth keeping an eye on, and I agree with you. It's a huge, huge issue that needs to be addressed immediately with, I think, 15 games left in the regular season.
You mentioned something, and that was that Paul George mentioned that team right now doesn't have an identity. That's an issue. Dude, we're in the middle of March. Like, how this team has been together since the start of the season for the most part. I mean, that Harden trade didn't happen too late into the year. Like, this is not an all-star break trade. You know what I mean? Like, how do you not have an identity? Your team was so good for a while. What happened? Like, is it just Russell Westbrook being gone? No, because the team was showing this before Westbrook got hurt. I mean, they were losing games before the All-Star break, and they were losing games after the All-Star break. They needed a miracle to come back and beat Golden State before the break. Like, they were showing this before the break that they were starting to slip, but somehow it was being covered. And I think they've got one of the top three worst defenses in a long time. Like, if you look over a long period, that was always the issue. And it kept being one of those things where you would hope that it would get better. And it hasn't gotten better. When you have Zoo, Kawhi, and PG, like, that's unacceptable to be that poor defensively. Defense, again, a lot of it has to do with effort. If you want to stay in front of somebody and you want to hustle your ass off on both ends, You can do it. You can do it by rebounding the basketball. You can hustle by getting forcing turnovers. Like, I don't get it. I don't understand how this team suddenly doesn't have an identity, and it's completely slipping away. It's frustrating. And so going back to your game, I think it's frustration right now is the biggest thing that I'm feeling right now as a fan.
It's incredibly frustrating, especially when you, because we talk about this roller coaster ride, when you get up to these high hopes and then something happens like this, and the identity almost seemed like, once there was that horrible losing streak when James Harden joined the team, it seemed like then everybody clicked. Everybody had chemistry. There was cohesion. There was execution, be it cutting down on turnovers, getting offensive rebounds, getting back on transition defense. But yes, it seems like they have lost that. And I don't know if the shoulder is a big issue or what's happening, but it does seem like there's been sort of a slowing down of James Harden and his production. And if you just look at these past four, or we can't really look at the Bulls game and the Pelicans game because he didn't play. But if you look at the Hawks and the T-Wolves game, both of which the Clippers lost, I mean, the numbers are not outstanding, and it's significant minutes. It's 36 minutes in one, and let me look here, 34 in the other. And, you know, the numbers, quite honestly, just aren't there.
Yeah, it's a problem. With James Harden yesterday not scoring until really late in the game, you and I have talked about how the offense hasn't been there at times, and we kind of glanced over it because PG, Kawhi, Norm Powell, they'd all been contributing. But now in these situations, like, we can't have these bad offensive games from Harden, because one of PG or Kawhi having even a mediocre game, and you're screwed. And this team's just not in a good place right now. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back, and I want to bring up the other thing that has been frustrating me. All right, we're back. So, you mentioned Paul George earlier, and we talked about him and the whole identity thing. Well, piggybacking on that, so all of a sudden we're now going to have this concentrated effort to have Paul George get the ball in his hands, something that we saw last year and Paul George complained about and wanted to have a point guard on his roster in Westbrook and Harden to get the ball out of his hands. And the Clippers had success with that being the case. And now all of a sudden, Ty Lue says this was the plan all along. Then the final 20 games or so, get the ball in Paul George's hand. Like, what? What, Matt? I don't understand.
It doesn't make any sense. Oh, the whole reason you got... The whole reason you got Harden was to get the ball out of Paul George's hands with the boneheaded decision. No, you're right. Sorry. Yeah, it's mind-boggling.
No, go ahead. My ending to my statement. So feel free and elaborate.
Well, so the thing is the whole goal here is to get the ball in Paul George. What is that? Is that in anticipation of James Harden not, like, flaming out in the playoffs like everybody accuses him of doing? I think it changes the entire dynamic, the entire chemistry that you're trying to build since this trade, and who's supposed to be where, and what roles are finally being defined. And it boggles the mind. I don't understand exactly what that means. Now, obviously, it's nothing Ty Lue should be fired over, like you said, some people are saying. But, you know, Ty also said in that Ohm article, he said, "I'll never react because I know we're a good team." Well, it's going to be time to overreact. And maybe you and I are overreacting, but that's what we do as fans. We overreact because we know something's a little sour here.
Okay, so here's the thing. If you're going to have the ball in Paul George's hands, that all of a sudden means that you're going to have James Harden be more of a shooting guard, a scorer, and get the ball, like, in catch and shoot situations. Like, what part of James Harden's game recently has shown you that that's a good idea? Like, the dude's a facilitator. And so having the ball in Paul George's hands for a couple of games just because James Harden's hurt and now you want to go ahead and change the way you're playing. Like, the offense was working because it was going through James Harden. We were seeing that incredible chemistry between Harden and Zoo. We were seeing those extra passes from T-Man and PG and getting the open shooter on the perimeter. We were seeing Harden get to the paint and spraying it out. Like, you're completely changing your identity. So, yeah, Paul George, you're right. Your team doesn't have an identity now because the one that you had that was working and now apparently isn't, you're trying going to try something else? It worries me so much, man. The way this team's playing, I don't see them getting past the Pelicans in the first round. Like, as crazy as that is, and we started the podcast saying that they can win it all because they've got the talent to do so, but the way they're playing right now and the mindset that this team has is so weak at times that I don't see how they beat the Pelicans in the first round. And that's where I stand right now.
So I do think they get past the Pelicans in the first round. And I think it comes down to two words, and that's Kawhi Leonard. I really think his playoff pedigree and just the way we saw him step up in years past when he was healthy, say it's in those Mavericks series or half of a Utah series, in a Suns, whatever the case may be, I do believe that he is just by far the best player on the floor. And I think in a 7-game series, and I, you know, take a shot every time I say it, but in a 7-game series, that's going to win over against the Pelicans. Now, you go to, and it's funny because I don't know that I would necessarily say the same thing about the Mavericks, who are below the Pelicans with Luka and Kyrie. Now, they don't necessarily have the backup squad that New Orleans has. But I think against New Orleans, I put my trust, and of course, you know, we're going to have to say it, check mark to health, but I put my trust in Kawhi kind of lifting everybody up to the level to where the Clippers would ultimately beat New Orleans. It'd be a tough series, no doubt about it. And the Clippers may be just worn out after that one too, because New Orleans has the juice just to right now to run up and down and up and down, and the Clippers are juiceless at this moment. I mean, they're a little kid that got bullied. They're Ralph in The Simpsons when somebody stole his juice money in the pool that The Simpsons bought. They're juiceless.
Who's defending Zion?
Who's defending Zion? Well, that's the thing. It's going to have to be Kawhi, and then he's going to be exhausted.
Right.
But that's a great question. I guess you're just going to have to throw the kitchen sink at him in round one. Having said that, I don't think that New Orleans wins in a 7-game series against the Clippers, though I'm not saying it's impossible. I still pick the Clips in that one.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I think with Herb Jones and with Zion and with Trey Murphy, and I mean, if Dyson Daniels comes back, I mean, these guys just have so much energy and they're so solid defensively. And Kawhi can, I don't know, man, if he gets neutralized, I just don't feel like the Clippers have what it takes to step up. I mean, you've got Norm Powell some games, you've got PG, I mean, who knows? And Harden has not just been playing very well, he's not been shooting the basketball well. And so it's concerning to me. And this team, it just feels like a young team just can easily blitz over the Clippers. And I understand that playoff basketball is different, and you say that they can lean on Kawhi, but how many times do we have to say that every single year when we get to the postseason that they'll step up when it matters? Like, this team, don't worry, they've got the guys. They'll be okay when it matters. Like, you showed earlier in the season that the regular season mattered. Now all of a sudden you don't think the games matter. Like, if it mattered, you should have played better against the Pelicans. If it mattered, you should have played better against the Timberwolves. If it mattered, you shouldn't have lost by 17 at home to an Atlanta team that doesn't have Trae Young. Like, what is going on? Like, you have two games against the Blazers, and then you have the 76ers. You should beat the crap out of those two teams in all three games. There's absolutely no excuse. The Blazers are terrible, and the 76ers without Joel Embiid are an absolute train wreck. There is no excuse to not go through this next slate of Blazers, 76ers, Pacers, 76ers, Magic, Hornets, and not come out with at least 6 wins. There's no reason why you can't go 6-1 in the next 7 games. But something tells me the Clippers will find a way to go like 4-3. And if they do, then they're in trouble. And I think they could easily get caught by the Pelicans. So they got to start winning games, Matt.
They do. And like you said, this is a perfect opportunity to get the train back on the tracks against these teams that they have coming up. And they can do it, but is there going to be any sense of urgency? Are they going to come into these games? And I hope they will, with a killer instinct that you and I have been searching for, well, pretty much since we've started doing this podcast together. To go back to Kawhi, though, in a possible New Orleans series, and I know we're getting way ahead of ourselves because we don't know what's going to happen, but this is the reason that you have Kawhi, though, so that you can believe in a guy like him, and I do. And I know way back when, maybe I said I would rather have Paul George, but that's only because he wanted to be a Clipper, this, that, and the third. The fact of the matter is, in the playoffs, Kawhi Leonard is an absolute assassin, and if he has to guard Zion, well, guess what? You have to guard Zion, because that's why you're Kawhi Leonard. And so he's going to be, obviously, the tide that lifts all ships. Is that what it is? But it's really, really, really going to boil down to Paul George, to Zoo, and a lot is going to fall on Harden in those games because, you know, as long and as versatile as they are, if Harden is playing at optimum speed and his abilities and he's getting the ball moving and controlling the offense and, you know, against their point guard is Zion or CJ, speaking of the Pelicans. And, you know, we're getting probably too into dissecting this matchup. I will just say that I think Kawhi can lift all ships or all tides or however it goes.
I don't know. It's just one of those things where I just don't like the way they're playing right now. And we'll see what happens. I mean, I think those are the biggest things that are concerning right now is that the team just feels like it's changing its identity. It doesn't know what its identity is. The fact that they're trying to get the ball in Paul George's hands now, a guy who just kept turning it over all the time last year when he had the ball in his hands, concerns me. And it concerns me that they're just not playing well and they're not rebounding and they're not getting back in transition. And the energy is just not there. And so we'll see what happens. But the way this team's playing right now is very frustrating. You look at yesterday's game, and, I mean, PG and Kawhi each end up with damn near 30 points, but Zoo, 1 of 1? Like, what? How does Zoo only have one shot? Like, feed the big man, and then Harden 3 of 10, and he didn't get his shots until late. Norm Powell, like, he's hurt, so look at the bench. Like, how many times have we said that the bench has to be bailed out by Norm? Like, now, look at the bench that appeared yesterday, Matt. PJ Tucker, Bones Highland, Amir Coffey. Like, that's not a team that's beating the Pelicans. Like, these games, this team is just not good. There are too many weak points. PJ Tucker, Bones Highland, Zoo, and Mann are all guys offensively that you can't go to all the time. And Harden's been playing terribly. So you right now have two guys you can rely on offensively. Like, that's not enough to win games. No wonder Jalen Johnson and Clint Capella and Deontay Murray and Bogdan Bogdanovich are beating you, and DeAndre Hunter. They've got guys who can score the basketball. Johnson and Bogdanovich and Murray and Hunter. Four guys that can score the basketball, and then a guy that can rebound the hell out of basketball in Capella. Like, Zoo, you can beat Capella. I just hate the way this team's playing right now, and this team's showing that one injury, and it's a Jenga piece, and the whole thing comes tumbling down.
It's so fragile, and so I'll ask you two questions here. One, so you go Deonte instead of DeJounte? Because I'm a DeJounte guy.
Deonte?
I pronounced the J.
I don't know which one. But the other, is.
You said Deonte. Maybe you can go either way. You know,
okay.
It's Ambra DeJounteous. But did we get a little too excited about the Tice Plumlee combo? Because let's say you take Zoo out. You said he had 1 of 1 yesterday. I mean, like, then what are we doing? Because the team all of a sudden gets really small. And small, not just in like a small ball way, but small if you're going against the Jalen Johnsons of the world, or you're going against, God forbid, the New Orleans of the world, who are just long and just arm spans, you know, like you could do hands across America or whatever it was, and it could just be the Pelicans bench. They could probably reach the entire thing. So without the Clippers, like what I'm trying to say is the Clippers get very small, and you can throw PJ Tucker into that mix, the whole bench. Go on down the line, except for Zoo. We got a little too excited about Tyson Plumlee as the backups because, A, they don't seem to be doing much right now, and B, boy, the Clippers do look small against some of these teams.
Yeah, and that's the thing with the athleticism. And you mentioned Jalen Johnson. You mentioned those guys, like, to have the length and they can bother you. Like, the Clippers don't have that. Like, they've got veterans in Kawhi and PG, and then they've got really nothing else off the bench. And it's concerning. And this team is very concerning. If Norm Powell's not back and you don't have Powell or Westbrook off the bench, then I just don't know how many games this team can win. Like I said, you can win six of the next seven, but if you're going to roll out George, Leonard, Zoo, Harden, Mann, and then the band of misfits off the bench, like if your starters don't completely blow the other team's starters out of the way, a bunch of games. And so this upcoming couple of games with Portland is huge. Like you have to beat them. Their starters are mediocre. Their bench is not good. Like you need to go after them and get wins when you can get them. And we'll see what happens, Matt. We'll see what happens.
Can't take a loss. Cannot take a loss against the Blazers. There is just no way. And even against the 76ers, like you said, without Embiid, then you go the Pacers, Sixers again, Magic, Hornets. These are all winnable games. And there really just needs to be a focus on effort and execution. And Ty Lue mentioned something about, you know, you can play hard for 32 minutes, but it has to be the full 48. Well, yeah, duh. That's what we've been saying. That is what taking the regular season seriously is. It's not taking parts of the game or falling behind and then, okay, I guess we have to come back and win this game, let our talent win out. You can't be laissez-faire. You got to come out from minute one to minute 48. And I never thought this was a very cool phrase, but they probably shouldn't give any quarter at this point because you can't afford it.
Yeah, no doubt about that. All right, you want to wrap up by talking about your what you would do with the solo pod?
I kind of went through it, actually. Okay. It was just sort of the annoyed, worried, or alarmed, and it was effort, execution, cohesion, and playing the Pels. And I think we actually kind of covered all that. We're alarmed by most of them, or at least I am. Worried about the execution and alarmed by playing the Pels and alarmed by the effort.
Yeah.
So I think actually we kind of covered that. You know, when I read on my legal pad, sometimes it works out okay, sometimes it doesn't, but it's always an adventure.
Yes, sir. All right, well, we'll see what happens. Don't forget, you can always give us a 5-star rating, review the podcast as well. We have not had any reviews since the last time we read them, so go ahead, and if you drop a review, we will read it on air. So we'll see what we can do. Looking to try and get a podcast after that Portland Trailblazers game because I will, again, be gone from Friday through Sunday. So until next time, he's Matt, I'm Brandon, and go Clips.
Go Clips.